Well, good morning, High Point Church, and today is a very good morning because today we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday, formerly known as Easter. I don't like to refer to it as Easter because that was a pagan holiday. I believe in celebrating what today is all about. So today is all about Jesus. It's about His death, burial, and resurrection. And I just want to encourage you today is a day of rejoicing. It's not a day to be mourning. It's not a day to be grieving. It's not a day to focus on the cross. It's a day to focus on the fact He was raised from the dead. I like to tell our church constantly regarding this is that if it were not for the resurrection, everything we believe would be for naught. If there would not have been a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we might have had the birth of the Son, even though we might have had the crucifixion of the Son, the resurrection is what makes all of it valid. It's what produces us with the ability to be born again, to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. So praise God, today is all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to first of all greet all of our High Point Church family who is tuning in this morning. Welcome and happy Resurrection Sunday to you. We're so glad that you are tuning in today. And I just want to let you know right now, go ahead and click like on this video. Make sure you comment and let everybody know you're there. And by all means, share it so that you can be like Mary Magdalene that we're going to look at in a minute and see how she shared the gospel. Be an evangelist of Resurrection Sunday. And I also want to greet every person out there that maybe is not familiar with High Point Church. You've tuned in, and this is not necessarily your church home, but we want to say to you today, greetings, welcome. We believe you're going to be blessed by today's message. Praise God. So I want to let you know today that we're going to be doing something a little different at the end. We want to celebrate communion together at the end of this service. So I want to go ahead and let you know that you can pause this video if for some reason you haven't gotten the memo and you don't have your communion elements ready and available to take. You can pause this video and go get them, but I'd encourage you to even do that right now, is go ahead and get it. And it doesn't matter what you get. You can get Sara Lee bread, praise God, and you can get Kool-Aid for all God cares. All that matters is your faith and your heart when you do it. So we'll be partaking of communion at the end of today's service. But I believe God has an on-time, now word for High Point Church today. And the title of today's message is Recognizing the Resurrection. Recognizing the Resurrection. And the reason I title it this is because when you study the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at a lot of these passages of Scripture today, many times, of course, people did not believe that He had been raised from the dead. Even His own disciples didn't believe the words that He had already spoken to them. But there are actually other accounts, more than one, I'll add, that where the people actually had Jesus physically standing before them and they didn't recognize Him. They didn't know Him. They didn't see Him. So is it possible for us today to have Jesus with us, for Him to be present among us, and we don't know it? I believe it is. So we're going to talk today by looking at some of the examples we have in these various accounts in the Gospels of Jesus' resurrection, of how we can become more aware of His presence that's among us. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles now to Mark chapter 16. We're going to start in Mark chapter 16. You know, as you're turning over there, I want to let you know that this is the most significant day in our Christian faith. Praise God. Amen. I call it the Super Bowl of Christianity. Hallelujah. It's the Olympics of our faith. And yeah, you guys know I'm going to go there. It's the Masters of the Christian faith. Hallelujah. This is the big deal. This is what it's all about. And this is what's awesome about Resurrection Sunday is with all those examples I just used, we're always on the winning team. If we've been raised from the dead with Christ Jesus, we always win. It doesn't matter if the devil looks like he's got the score running up on us right now. Praise God, we can come through it and we can win every single time when we just put our faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to do today. Mark chapter 16. And like I said, we're going to go through various examples in the Gospels of people who had the Lord appear to them and they didn't recognize Him, and what happened, what transpired, what Jesus did and what Jesus said for them to be able to recognize those things. Praise God. So, Mark chapter 16, I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid Him.'" Amen. "But go tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him, as He said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now notice verse 9. "Now when He rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first," notice this, "to Mary Magdalene, out of whom had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with Him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that He was alive, and He had been seen by her, they did not believe." Now this is what's significant to me. The first person the resurrected Christ chose to reveal Himself to was Mary Magdalene. First of all, someone who had had 7 demons cast out of her. And what you also got to understand is this was a woman. And back in their day, it's a little bit different for us nowadays, but back then, women were considered insignificant. They were second class. They were not considered at the status that a man was at. So see this now. Jesus chose to appear first to a woman, a second class citizen at that time, and also somebody who had a horrible history, having 7 demons in her. What does that teach us? It teaches me that the Lord delights in revealing Himself to people who might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, to people who might not be the brightest bulb, hallelujah, people who might have a bad history and might be considered insignificant. It doesn't matter. Jesus reveals Himself to you today. So do not let yourself be disqualified today and think because I'm this or I've done this or because I don't have this education that the Lord won't show me what I need to see. What you need to understand today is if Jesus will reveal Himself to Mary Magdalene, He'll reveal Himself to you too. Praise God. Amen. Now let's go over to John chapter 20 and let me show you another account where this happened. John chapter 20, because we see something different in the disciple whom Jesus loves account. John chapter 20, and we're going to begin in verse 1 and we're going to go through verse 18. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple," this is John, "whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him.'" Now notice what happens here, or notice what John feels is pertinent to let us know what happened in this account. It's interesting. "Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first." Isn't that interesting? And notice this. "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first," he makes a point to let you know he got there first again, "went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes." So, you know what this is doing? If you read that, you need to understand John and Peter, they had this sibling rivalry, so to speak. There was something that they were constantly going against each other. So what it shows me is even the great disciple whom Jesus loved, had some problems. He still had an ego trip going on right here, and he's sitting there talking about how he beat Peter to the tomb and how he believed first and all this different stuff, showing us that people like Peter, like John, like Mary Magdalene, like the Apostle Paul, had flaws just like you and I did, praise God. So what this shows us is the Lord can still reveal Himself to us even with the problems and the junk that we got in our life, praise God. Now look at verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she, stooping down, looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and notice this, and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. So here we see our first instance where Jesus appeared to someone and they saw Him. He was physically present in His resurrected form, yet she didn't recognize Him. But notice what happens. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing Him to be a gardener, said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. And then Jesus said, "Don't cling to me." So what was it that caused Mary Magdalene to recognize this was Jesus when He said her name? Now, I'm here to tell you today, saints, and the Holy Spirit has impressed me to tell you this today. You need to know today, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, knows your name. And when you hear Him call your name, your eyes can be opened to see the power of His resurrection. Glory to God. And this is awesome. What it shows us is that the Lord desires to have personal, intimate relationship with you. He wants you to know He knows your name, and He wants you to know His name. Now, when you know the name of the Lord, that means you know His qualities, His characteristics, what He said He would do. It's His person and His power, hallelujah. And when He knows your name, that means He's intimately acquainted with you. So it shows me that having a revelation of Jesus in our lives is going to come through having a personal relationship with the resurrection Himself. Glory to God. In fact, let me show you a scripture in Revelation chapter 3. I love to use this scripture because to me it really echoes the Lord's heart for us. This was Jesus' words to the seven churches. And this is the last church He chose to address here. And in this, the lukewarm church, the church of Laodicea, I want you to notice what Jesus said to him in verse 20. He said, "Behold." Now, Pastor Trey's definition of behold is, check this out. Hallelujah. I want you to see this. This is important. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, this is going to become significant for when we partake of communion at the end. But the Lord desires for you and I to have communion with Him. He wants us to fellowship together. Now, most people, when they quote this verse, they use it evangelically. I'm trying to say that word right. But basically, they're trying to say it to witness to people. Amen. This is not written to unbelievers. This is written to the church. Jesus can be, somebody can be saved. Jesus can be a part of somebody's life, yet they've never fully opened the door to Him and had Him actually come in and have communion with them. That's sad to say, but it's true. But what it shows us is that the Lord wants us to have this personal relationship with Him that evidently Mary Magdalene and Him had, to where they know each other. They're in relationship, a good godly relationship. And then when they have that kind of fellowship with one another, Jesus comes into your house, into this temple, praise God, and has a wonderful relationship with you. So having a relationship with Jesus is the first important key for us entering into the power of His resurrection. But I want you to notice something else. Go over to Luke chapter 24. Hallelujah. And while you're turning over to Luke 24, let me tell you another story of somebody who knew the Lord when He called their name. You're familiar with the story of Ananias, when the Apostle Paul was had the resurrected Lord revealed to him on the road to Damascus, and then the Lord speaks to a man named Ananias, and he says to him, he says, Ananias, he calls his name, and he turns around and says, "Here I am, Lord." I wonder how many times I personally, I'll just talk about me today, I wonder how many times the Lord has said, "Trey," and I wasn't there. How many times the Lord has called out to me, yet I haven't necessarily been as in tune to Him. I might have distractions in my life. I might be focused on a lot of different things, and my heart is not as open to the Lord's presence in my life. I'm here to tell you, we need to be there when the Lord calls our name. When the Lord wants you to set aside some time and spend fellowship with Him, by all means, do it. Praise God. Now, Luke 24, we have another account. This is where Jesus revealed Himself to His disciples. Okay? And this is an important story. We're going to look at Luke's account and John's account. But I want you to notice first Luke 24, and we're going to start in verse 36. It says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit." So again, these guys saw Jesus, but they didn't recognize Him. They weren't sure it was Him. "And He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet." Notice this though. "But while they still did not believe, for joy." Do you know joy comes as a result of believing the truth? When you believe in the resurrection of Jesus and everything that entails, everything God's provided for us, it will produce joy in your life. We'll probably get into that here in a moment. But it says, "And they marveled and said to Him, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave Him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and He took it and ate in their presence." Evidently, that caused them to become aware that this is not a spirit, this is a real person. And then verse 44, "Then He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures." Verse 46, "Then He said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things.'" So what did Jesus feel pertinent to reveal to His disciples? When they didn't believe it was Him, when they were frightened, thinking it was a spirit, a ghost, what did He do? He went back and explained everything that He had taught them when He was physically present with them. Praise God. So you could say, He opened their understanding to the Scriptures, that He taught them the Word. And I'm here to say to you today, saints, that one of the number one ways for us to experience the supernatural resurrection power of God is to believe it when you haven't seen it. You got to believe it because it's written. And I'm telling you today, if they would have believed what Jesus had taught during those times, they would have had no problem believing that it was Him and seeing Him and recognizing Him during that time. In fact, go over to John and let me show you another very familiar account when He revealed Himself to His disciples. And this is when Thomas, doubting Thomas, was not present when this happened. Notice what Jesus says to him. It's John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So He said to them, 'Unless I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe.'" Now, how many of you know that's being hard-headed right there? That's somebody just digging their heels in the ground and saying, "I absolutely will choose not to believe," which we're going to find out here in a second. Belief is a choice. And it says, "And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then He said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it on in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to Him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Hallelujah. See, what we're seeing here is the Lord says to him, don't be unbelieving, but be believing. Choose to believe. You know, we have this saying that we say a lot of times in the world today, I can't believe it. But did you know that's not true? You can believe it. People that say that say, I'm choosing not to believe it. The Lord told Thomas here, you can choose to believe. And you know what else you can do? You can choose to believe the words in this book. And when you choose to believe it, then you'll see it. Then it's manifested to you. Then you're able to see that God is powerful, that God is your provider, that God is with you, all the various things that we see there. So we need to always remember the fact that we've got to believe it before we see the supernatural, because I believe that when our eyes are open to receive this, then things change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then we're able to experience more from God. You know, I can give you plenty of scriptures on this. One of them I'm thinking of right now is the poor man and Lazarus. Do you remember that? The rich man and Lazarus, excuse me. Is that when the Lord tells this parable, which I believe is a true story. It says that they were in these two separate parts of hell or Hades during this time. And in the midst of this story, the rich man cries out to Abraham and says, go tell my brothers, go tell my family that they do not want to come to this place. And do you know what Abraham turned around and said? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. That's their way of talking about the Word. They have the Word. Let them hear them. Because even if they saw one raised from the dead, they will not believe. In other words, faith does not come by hearing and or seeing signs and wonders. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I remember one time that the Lord revealed this to me early on in my Christian walk. I was on my first fast ever, and I was in a Sunday school class at my local church at this time. And I remember the Sunday school teacher was teaching on how the children of Israel throughout their journey in the wilderness continued to stumble, continued not to believe the Lord God, did not believe Moses, the servant that was sent to them. And it was after the Lord had done all those awesome miracles in Egypt. And the teacher of this class said during this time, said, how could they continuously stumble and not believe after they saw all those signs and wonders while they were in Egypt? And the Holy Ghost rose up on the inside of me and said, it's because faith does not come by seeing signs and wonders. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If they would have heard Moses, then they wouldn't have stumbled. But just because we got supernatural phenomena going on around us and we see miracles and signs and wonders, that's not going to make anybody believe. What's going to make people believe is when they believe what was written, because this is where faith comes. So what we're seeing now is it's personal relationship with God, the Lord knowing your name, like it was with Mary Magdalene. Here it is, we're going to experience the power of His resurrection through believing before we see it. We've got to get our nose in this book and believe what is written and what the Lord has said to us. Praise the Lord. So let me show you a third way that the Lord can reveal Himself to you in the power of His resurrection. Go to John chapter 21, the 21st chapter of John. I love this account right here, because this is, by John's testimony, the third time the Lord had appeared to His disciples. And I want you to notice what happens. John 21, beginning in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now what you need to understand here is He wasn't saying, I'm going fishing like we might say today. Today we would say, I'm going fishing recreationally. This was their business. In other words, what Peter could have basically been saying here is, you know what, I'm tired of sitting around here waiting on something else to happen. I'm going back to my old way of life. I'm going back to the business that I know, and I'm going to do these things. So you could say he was backsliding, so to speak, and saying, I'm going to go and prioritize something over what the Lord might be doing in my life. And some of us have done that same thing as well. But notice this, it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Sounds like my fishing experiences. And then it says this, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So again, He reveals Himself to them, praise God, but they didn't recognize Him, even after He had already revealed Himself to them. Interesting. Verse 5 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' And they answered Him, 'No.' And He said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.'" And notice the word "some" is in italics because, you know, they didn't just catch some, they catched a bunch. Hallelujah. And it says, "So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish." And then notice what happens. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea." What was it that caused the disciple whom Jesus loved to recognize that this was the Lord? When the Lord did another miracle in their life that was like a former miracle they had experienced. In other words, I would say this, what caused them to recognize the Lord here was they recognized His goodness. They recognized the abundance that He had provided before. So, man, you know what this teaches me? It shows me that one of the ways in which we're going to recognize the Lord in our life is by recalling in our heart and mind all the miraculous good things the Lord has done in our life. Amen. We need to go back and look and recount and say, "Lord, I remember when You delivered me out of this. Lord, I remember when You paid this bill for me. Lord, I remember when You healed my body here." And as we begin to go back and recall all the goodness of God in our lives, then our eyes will be open to see His goodness in our lives then. Hallelujah. That's important. So what we're seeing here is three things so far. The first thing was you got to have personal relationship with the Lord. He's got to know your name and you got to know His. Number two, you got to believe it because it's written, not necessarily having to experience it. Hallelujah. And number three, you got to recall and recognize God's goodness in your life. Amen. Because one of the number one ploys of the enemy is when we've got a giant before us is to forget about the lion and the bear. You know, and when we're only focused on the mountain that's before us and we're not recalling the past victories, then guess what happens? We end up setting ourselves up to see that mountain in a way that we shouldn't be seeing it, as bigger than our God. Amen? We need to understand God has done all these things for me, and because of that, I recognize His goodness. Now I'm going to recognize His presence in my life today that's there to give me the victory. Glory to God. Now finally, let's go over to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, and this is an important part of today's message. This is the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I want you to notice in this particular account some pretty important things. And I believe the Holy Ghost is going to speak to us today through this passage. Luke 24 in verse 13 says, "Now behold," check this out, "two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him." So again, another account where the resurrected Lord was present, yet they didn't recognize Him. Verse 17 says, "And they said to Him," or He said to them, "what kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad?" Now let's stop right there for a minute because I want you to see Jesus is revealing to us what their conversation, what spirit it was being done in. You know, they were talking about factual things and they were having just a good, reasonable conversation. But did you know when the fact that Jesus said that they were walking and were sad, it shows us they weren't talking in faith. They were talking in doubt, discouragement, depression, all these different things. And this is what we need to understand today, saints, is what is the fruit that the conversations we're having, what does it have in our life? If it makes us feel further away from God, if it makes us feel depressed, sad, discouraged, then we probably shouldn't be talking about that. And this is so pertinent to what we're talking about today, praise God. Because in talking about this, we've got a situation that we're in, a health crisis in this world. And the majority of people are putting all their focus and all their attention on the bad things that are happening through it. What's going on with the economy? All the people that have this virus? All the people that are dying from it? But what if we just flip that, just like a coin? And we flip that around and start talking about what Jesus is doing. All the people that have been healed from this virus. All the people that are getting saved right now across the planet. People are turning to the Lord. Awesome. I mean, I'll use this example. We're now going to live streaming with our messages, and I've been telling people this is what's awesome about it. People look at this as bad because we can't physically gather together. And that's important. We should be gathering together. But guess what? We're reaching far more people than we were beforehand. So that's what I choose to focus on, not the fact we might not be gathering today and it's Easter. What we need to be doing is focusing on the fact, praise God, we got technology that we can gather together this way, and praise God, God is doing great things, and this is being all over the world. His word's running swiftly, saints. Praise God. So we need to focus on that and know that the feelings that come in our life, the negative emotions, can be a result of our focus being on the wrong thing, just like it was with these guys. Praise the Lord. So notice verse 18. It then says, "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?'" And I love this. "And Jesus said to them," what things? Now this is awesome to me right here. Praise God. See, what they basically said when Jesus came and said, "What are you talking about?" They thought He should be automatically aware of all the events that are going on in Jerusalem during this time. Now, of course, we know Jesus was aware. It happened to Him. And of course, He know this is the conversations that are going on in the world. You know, but guess what? He chose not to focus on them. And I believe this is a great lesson to you and I today. Is we've got all this negative news that's being poured into us through all this situation. And it is easy during this time for us to research this virus and study what's going on in the economy. Sit there and stare at the stock market all day and focus on all these things. And guess what that's going to do? It's only going to produce death in you. It's not going to help. What's going to help is when you put your eyes on the truth. You choose to focus on things above. Set your mind on things above, glory to God. And I know there's people out there that'll hear this and say, "Well, you got to be informed, Pastor. You got to be informed. You can't just dig your head down in the sand and bury it there and not be aware of what's going on." Listen, I live by this principle, and I'm going to tell you what works. If it's a big enough deal, somebody's going to tell you about it. You ain't got to look on CNN or Fox News all day to be able to find that out. You will have the information presented to you that is pertinent to you. So just focus on these things. And I love how Jesus said, "What things?" And I believe the Lord's saying that to us today, praise God. He's like saying, you know, we're talking about, "Lord, you know what's going on with the economy? God, don't you see what's happening with this virus? God, don't you see how this is affecting things?" And the Lord's looking down at you today and saying, "What things?" It's not that the Lord's not concerned with the things that concern us, but He's not as concerned as most people are out there. And we don't need to be as concerned about it either. We need to get on Jesus' side and say with Him, "What things?" Hallelujah. So they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet." Now that was their first problem. These two disciples only saw Him as a prophet. You know what that means? They only saw Him as natural. They only saw Him as a physical man. They didn't see Him as He was in truth, God. So they saw Him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So they were giving some attention to the positive things that happened in Jesus' life and ministry. And notice this, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping..." Now, right there was their problem. "But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel." All right, so what was happening here? When they began to recount everything that they had been talking about to the resurrected Lord, who they didn't recognize at this time, the first thing they said a little bit about Jesus. They talked about how He was mighty in word and deed, but they only saw Him as a man. They only saw Him as a prophet. And then they started talking about His crucifixion, focusing on the negatives. And I'm going to tell you, that's important for us to understand today. Because what I'm about to say to you might sound like heresy to start off with, but listen out. This is important. Far too many Christians are pitching camp at the foot of the cross and have never moved on to His resurrection. And that is not what we're supposed to say. Now, there is a place for beholding the cross and giving honor to Jesus for taking our sin upon us. And yes, giving some attention to that. But we need to also focus on the fact there's an empty tomb, praise God. That's why it's like all these people like to wear crosses around their neck. I want to get something around my neck that's just got a little rock with a hole hewn in it, praise God, for the empty tomb. Because I like to give the attention to the resurrection, because that's where the power is. That's where the deliverance is. That's where the miracles are. That's where everything is that's going to make us, praise God, experience what God has for us. So, they said we were hoping. Now, this is what happened with the children of Israel during this time. When Jesus was there, in the mindset of the Jew at that time, the Messiah was going to come to deliver them from their oppressors. So in their mind, when the Messiah came, He was going to free them from the rule of Rome. And so they were always expecting that. This even caused John the Baptist to stumble because Jesus was going around healing people and he sent his disciples to him and said, "Are you the coming one?" Do you know why he asked that? It was because Jesus didn't seem to be progressing in establishing his kingdom on the earth then. But this is what's important. Our expectation can sometimes be off. We can be hoping that Jesus will do this or expecting it to be this and have false expectations which create disappointment. And so we need to understand, we need to have the right expectations and that Jesus has come. Like for example, Jesus has come to free us from sin, heal us of our sicknesses and diseases, providing for us in the financial arena. Jesus has come to do all that, yes, but we need to give attention to, man, some things, God has done all this in my life at this point. And magnify that. That's what they should have been doing during this time. And verse 21 goes on to say, "Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And notice what Jesus says to them. "Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself." So again, you see Jesus doing the same thing with these two disciples that he did with the others. He began to remind them of what Moses and the prophets had said and all the things that he had prophesied to them when he was physically on the earth, praise God. He brought them in the remembrance of the Word of God. Amen? Now notice this, verse 28. "Then they drew near to the village where they were going." Notice this, "and he indicated that he would have gone further." You know, Jesus was not planning to stop there. He didn't just appear to these guys because it was all about them. He was going to where he was going. You know, and this reminds me of Mark chapter 6, I believe it is. It's where Jesus was walking to his disciples on the sea. Do you remember that? And that scripture says that he would have passed them by. You know why? Because Jesus had already said, "Let us go to the other side." Amen. And because he had already said that, he just assumed they were going to do what he had already told them to do. And bless God, he's going to do it anyways. But this is what's awesome. Even though the Lord indicated he would have gone farther, look at what happens next. Verse 29, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them." This goes back to that Revelation 3:20 thing that I was telling you about earlier, is that the Lord will come and dine with us if we'll just open the door, if we'll invite Him in. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying this right now, is that you might be in your apartment, in your home, alone, and you might not have other people there with you, and you're feeling really isolated. Open the door to Jesus and let Jesus come and manifest Himself to you. Glory to God. He wants to come and dine with you today, praise God, just like He did with these guys. But look at verse 30. "Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them." Then when? When He blessed and broke the bread, then their eyes were open and they knew Him. And he vanished from their sight. Notice this. Let's keep reading. Verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them. How? In the breaking of bread. What is it, or what was it, that was significant about the fact Jesus broke the bread and passed it out to them that caused them to recognize the Lord? Well, you could make a case for the fact that they recognized that the way, the manner in which Jesus would break the bread and pass it along to them was the same thing they saw at the Lord's Supper on Passover, or when He multiplied the loaves and the fishes and passed them out to the multitudes. It could have been that, but I believe there's another truth in this. I believe that when communion is partaken of, you can know the Lord in a supernatural, resurrected way. I believe that when we partake of the bread and the juice, that we are able to have our eyes opened and have the Lord reveal Himself to us. So that's what we're going to do right now. If you have not already gotten your elements together, the bread and the juice, then you can actually pause this video at this moment and then come back and pick back up, because I want you to partake together with us today. But this is what I felt the Holy Spirit say today. Is while we're not able to celebrate communion corporately like we're used to doing, I believe today the Lord would have it that you celebrate communion with Him, where He would be with you, you with Him. You might have your family members there with you, but to where you and Jesus personally and intimately have this communion with each other. And I believe we're going to have some supernatural results as a result of doing this today. So if you haven't done so already, go ahead and get your elements, and we're going to partake together. And what I'm going to do is take us over to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look at this particular chapter as we partake of communion together, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, saints, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to you today. Jesus is present. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this earth. The resurrected Christ walks in the midst of the church today. So He's in that room with you today. But I believe He wants you to experience a manifestation of His presence today. And it's going to happen as we remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. It says, when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, notice this, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Can you hear the Lord saying that to you today? With fervent desire, I am passionate about partaking of communion with you today. So close your eyes and begin to open up your spiritual eyes to be able to see Jesus with you, and that He's breaking that bread and passing it to you right now. And it says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread, take the bread now, and He gave thanks and He broke it. And He gave it to them saying, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So what I want you to do right now, have your eyes closed, and I want you to picture Jesus handing you this bread today. And I want you to have the Lord say to you today, take, eat along with Me. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Verse 20 goes on to say, likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you. Hallelujah. So right now, I want you, as you've got your juice, whatever you're choosing to partake of today, I want you to close your eyes And I want you to picture Jesus giving you this today. He's passed the cup to you, and He wants you to partake together with Him. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you to still envision Jesus being there with you. And you are enjoying fellowship with Him right now. You have just partaken of His broken body and His shed blood. And in doing so, Jesus Christ has entered into your temple. And in doing so, you're experiencing the resurrected Christ right now. I can just see people right now weeping as they experience the presence of God in that home. And what I want to tell you today is, even though today is Resurrection Sunday, and we traditionally celebrate communion together, I want you to know you can do this every day, praise God. You can have this communion, this relationship with the Lord, and partake of communion anytime you want, as much as you want, praise God, and have this kind of fellowship with Him, because He wants to come into the home of your heart, to dwell there, and to sit and dine with you. He wants fellowship with you today. Now, I believe that there are also people that are watching this today that you've maybe never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you today, this is so important. This is the most significant thing you could ever make in your life. And it's the most significant choice is to call on the name of the Lord. Because we're living in these difficult times. There is a lot of people struggling right now in their heart. A lot of people's faith is shaken. And you might have come to the realization that, man, Jesus is real. He is raised from the dead. And if your heart has been inclined to that, it is imperative that you call on the name of the Lord right now and let Him change your life. And you might say, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've been. Yeah, you don't know how great the blood of Jesus is and how awesome His grace is. He will forgive you. He will give you a brand new life. He'll change things for you. Hallelujah. So if that's you and you are ready at this moment to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to pray a simple prayer after me. Say, Father, I call on Your name. Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, I know that You stand at the door of my heart, that You're knocking. I open my door now and I say, Jesus, enter into my life. Hallelujah. If you've done that, I believe there is a significant thing that's happened in your life. And you know what it is? It's as equally as significant as what we read today. You have just been resurrected. You have just been made alive. You've come out of death and entered into life. And now the Lord has changed you. Praise God. So if you prayed that prayer with me today, I encourage you to write in the comments and let us know that you became a Christian today. We're going to have our contact information on the comments right now. And what you can do is you can let us know. You can reach out to us at this time and let us know that you made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. I believe the resurrected Christ wants to reveal Himself to us today, saints. And this is what we've learned, is that He'll do it when you hear Him call your name. Hallelujah. When you spend time in the Word of God and let the Scriptures enter your heart, when He expounds the Scriptures to you, when you recognize His goodness in your life and recount everything God's done for you, and most importantly, is when you partake communion with Him. All of these things make the resurrected Christ real in your life and makes you a new creation and experiencing all things new in your life today. Praise God. Well, we are so glad that you joined us today for this Resurrection Sunday service at High Point Church. And I want to remind every person watching right now, make sure you click like on this video, make sure you comment, and let us know how it ministered to you. And by all means, share this message so that other people can get the same word that you got today. You might be the evangelist that shares this and somebody gets saved through. Don't take that lightly. But we love you here at High Point Church. We're here for you. In any way that you need us, let us know. You can put your prayer request in the comments as well, and we will pray over those. We will let the church body know so that we can pray together. But I want to conclude today by just wishing you a happy Resurrection Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the day with your family today, praise God. And let's celebrate and let's rejoice because He is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.